Lightning finally struck as the Rangers lost Game 3 in heartbreaking fashion in the final minute. The series is now 2-1 Rangers. Can they hold the Lightning off? Do they win Game 4 in Tampa? Can they win this series? We'll ask the Post, Larry Brooks. It's Ron Duguay, Molly Walker, me, Jake Brown, on Up in the Blue Seats from the New York Post next.
Hedman. Block shot, score! Andre Palat makes it 3-2, Tampa Bay. Cleared out by Cirelli, who looks up at the clock and realizes Tampa Bay is going to win its first game of this series.
Welcome back to Up in the Blue Seats podcast, our New York Rangers podcast from the New York Post. That highlight you heard courtesy of ESPN after a gut-wrenching loss from the Rangers. As Andre Palat scores a goal with 41.6 seconds to go to hand the Rangers a 3-2 loss. And now this is a 2-1 series. Let's welcome in the host of Up in the Blue Seats before Larry Brooks of the New York Post joins us later in the program. That would be the Queen of the Post. She is down in sunny Tampa, about to go jet skiing. She's living her DJ Khaled best life. That would be Molly Walker and her co-host, Rangers great number 10, Ron Duguay. Ron, you were down watching in Florida. Gut wrencher. Tough way to lose game three down there.
Yes, I am in Florida. Having said that, I didn't know what to expect in game three because I wanted to see what Tampa Lightning was going to bring, where they're going to elevate their game and how the Rangers were going to respond. And I got to tell you, with the way the Rangers started and how the Lightning didn't control the game, I really felt like, wow, I'm seeing a team, the Rangers, who can beat the Lightning. And after what we saw with the Lightning destroying the Panthers, I'm thinking, you know what? This is not the team that I thought it was. So having said that, I watched this game and I'm thinking, yeah, I think I'm going to be wrong. And so will Molly, because we both thought, you know what? After what we saw previous to this round, we thought that the Lightning were going to beat the Rangers, possibly in five or six. But now my mind has changed. Even though they lost that game, a tough one to lose because it almost would have guaranteed a win and move on to the finals. But I love how the Rangers are playing. They're playing with so much confidence. And the Lightning are struggling to answer. They had some good bounces. There were times where they controlled the play a little bit. But I like how the Rangers look right now. I love their confidence. And I'm believing that the Rangers are going to win this round after what I've seen in game three. Molly, your thoughts?
After the Rangers went up 2-0 in game three, there was panic on the Lightning bench. You could feel it. You could see it in John Cooper's face. There was panic. It really was there. And they didn't even know what to do. But that's when the desperation of this championship team really kicked in. And it was a battle of the power plays, battle of the special teams last night. And, you know, some games just, you know, they just turn out that way. But had it not have been that way, who knows what would have happened? The Rangers might have been able to have pulled one out. And I do think that aside from the third period, they did play well enough to win, especially because Tampa looked 10 times better than they did in games one and two. That was the real Lightning team that I think all of us have just been waiting and waiting and waiting to see. And they finally showed up. But the Rangers, through the first two periods, skated right with them. They really did. Yeah, it may have seemed that Tampa controlled the bulk of the possession and such, but it was still a 2-0 game and then a 2-1 game and then, yeah, a 2-2 game. And then Andre Palat steals it at the last possible second. And the Lightning, based on how they played in the third period, definitely deserved to win that one. But like you said, Ron, I'm totally right there with you. They can win this series. And I think they know that they can win this series. And that's just how they need to play going forward, is knowing in their hearts, minds, and in their legs that they can beat these defending champions.
Guys, let's talk about that final goal, because Molly, you were in the postgame presser, and Chris Kreider, who's played kind of the captain role despite not having the C in his chest after the game, he kind of put his hand in front of Mika Zibanejad's microphone like his big brother to kind of take some blame for that goal in the final second. So let's hear what they had to say.
Mika, the game-winning goal, I think we have to acknowledge what a great pass that is by Kucherov to make that play, but from your perspective, what did you see there? What, you know, anything you look back on hindsight and say, oh, maybe I could have done this, anything at all? Or Chris, you want to answer?
I gotta get the puck out. I'm puck watching. I should have came and planted. Instead of filtering a little bit too far back to the net, puck goes over my head, take a swing at it. It's probably almost a high-sticking penalty. If I get to my position, throw the brakes on. And there was, everyone was accounted for. I didn't need to kind of over back check and take myself that close to the paint. If I'm planted, comes right to me, put the puck on the ice, get it out.
Molly, your reaction being there live, seeing that from Dan Rosen's question.
Just what a special moment, honestly. What a quintessential Chris Kreider moment, I think. Just the way that he put the back of his hand right to the side of Mika Zibanejad as if to say, no, no, you're not answering this question. I'm answering this question and I'm taking full responsibility. And that's exactly what Chris Kreider did when he opened his mouth. And that is something that we've seen from Chris Kreider this entire season. And when it comes to Mika Zibanejad in particular, Chris is so incredibly protective of him and so incredibly passionate about shielding him from any sort of criticism that he doesn't deserve. I remember in the first round, when obviously Mika Zibanejad was having a bit of a tough start to the playoffs, wasn't producing as much as I'm sure he would like to have been. And Mika was asked about it in a pregame press conference, and Chris was angry at the question. He was so angry. And he just went on like a 10-minute tangent about all the intangibles that Mika Zibanejad brings to this team. How even if he's not lighting up the score sheet, he is a two-way guy. He's playing well defensively. He's still making things happen out there. And he just went on and on and on. It's just every positive thing that he could say about Mika Zibanejad because, they're such good friends. Everybody can see it. You can see it in the way that they hug at the end of games. And they're such good friends. And Chris just won't let Mika take the fall. He won't let Mika be the punching bag at all. And like you said, Jake, that is just Captain Chris Kreider without the C. And that is just who he has been this entire season. If the Rangers get to the cup, win the Stanley Cup, it should be Chris Kreider who goes and picks the Stanley Cup up first. That's just, I think that the entire Rangers team would agree with that statement because I really do think that that's just quintessential Chris Kreider right there. And just what a special moment to be there for and see in person. It really was special.
Molly, one of the takeaways from this game was how the Lightning, one of their game plans was to interfere or kind of throw Shesterkin off his game because he's probably their most valuable player. And we started to see some of that. And I think that's one of the things that Coach Jerry Gallant talked about in the post game. What do you make of what they're doing? Do you think that it's really part of the game? It's part of playoff hockey. Yeah, you're going to have a little bit of goalie interference, but to me, it's really much part of the game. Do you think that they're making too much out of this, or should it just be let it be and let the teams police themselves?
That's a good question, Ron. It really is, because it was deliberate on Tampa Bay's part. It was very, very deliberate. Just in like the smallest ways that you can tell that it was deliberate, you know, the play stops and they're all around the Rangers net. And some Tampa player is skating behind Igor through the crease. You know, it was a conscious decision to do that. And it clearly was part of their game plan. And I know John Cooper said that it wasn't, but I mean, like you said, Ron, Igor is their most valuable player by a long shot. And everybody did see in the first round that he can get rattled. It's possible, whether it's the crowd, which that's really all it's been so far. The crowd in Pittsburgh was really the only thing that was able to rattle Igor. But the Lightning probably feel like they need to do something to try and get Igor off of his game. And so they were snow showering him every possible chance that they got. And I know, oh my God, all the Lightning fans are talking about Igor flopping. And look, you know, yes, were there a couple flops in there? Absolutely. But two points to that. One, obviously he's going to try and get a call because of the way that Tampa is playing around him. And two, I've said this before, and so did Jillian Kemmerer, the KHL reporter we had on here. Igor is a showman. Igor puts on a show in every sense of the word, whether it's just in his play, you know, the way he speaks. He's a showman. He knows how to put on a show, how to make good TV, how to make entertainment. And that's also what I think he was going for. You know, he's trying to sell the play, trying to sell the call. And that's just part of who he is as a player, I think. But it definitely was a tactic by Tampa for game three, and it probably will carry over into game four. But yes, Gerard Gallant was not happy. He said, I don't like it. I don't think there's like a place for that. And he did say that he's going to, so every game, I saw that there was some confusion about this online because, you know, everyone's calling Gallant a Karen because he's saying he's going to talk to the supervisor. There are supervisors for every series, for every game. There's an NHL like member that comes and oversees the game, Kay Whitmore. So he's assigned by the league to oversee the series. He's a former goaltender, and now he's the goaltending supervisor for the NHL. So this is, that's a legit thing. You know, Gallant saying, I'm talking to the supervisor, was not like a weird way to say it. Like, that's the proper way to say it.
Well, Molly, don't you think, when you talk about tactics, don't you think Coach Gerard Gallant is using that situation to protect his goaltender? Because I know Gerard Gallant, he in the playoff game, he would have been that first guy all over a goaltender, interfering, getting in his face, and he understands it. I think that he gets it. What he's doing is just really trying to protect his goaltender, but also let the officials know that they should be calling a little bit more and probably would go their way.
No, for sure. And I think that there were a lot of penalties in game three. A lot. I think there was 10 in total. And yes, Jacob Trouba did have three of them, three of the most costly ones for sure. Tampa scored on two of them. And then the third negated a 4-minute power play that they had, a good portion of it, which was a huge opportunity for the Rangers in the third period. So I'm curious to see if the Rangers make Jacob Trouba available today, because we will be requesting him. And they usually do. Jacob Trouba is a very accountable guy. I remember after his hit on Sidney Crosby in the first round that knocked him out of part of game five and all of game six, Trouba came out the next day and talked about it and was forthcoming about it. So I do expect Trouba to come out today, because that'll definitely be a story, because he definitely was one of the most costly penalty takers in game three. But I think that, yeah, we're maybe a couple of them were a little undisciplined. I think the first one was kind of, I don't know. It's up in the air. I think the second one probably was warranted, but it definitely, I think the Rangers do need to play a little bit more disciplined. And Adam Fox was actually talking about how, yeah, they have great special teams and they've had great special teams all year, but the Rangers are at their best when they're able to get in the flow of the game and going back and forth from a couple of minutes of 5-on-5 to then being on the penalty kill to then being on the power play. It's a lot. And then the fact that they lost Ryan Strome, you know, that top power play unit is at its best when it has those guys that have been on it all season. And Filippito was able to step in and it was fine. But I think that top power play unit is definitely going to miss Ryan Strome, and the chemistry might not be the same if he's not able to go.
Do we know the status of his injury? We know it's a lower body injury, Molly, but do you think we'll see him on Tuesday?
I don't know. He came out for one shift in the second period after he left. It looked like I don't know if it just hit him in the wrong spot. Didn't look like that hard of a cross check, but it looked like it got him in a bad spot. And he went to the locker room, came back out, took one shift, and looked at the trainers when he got off the ice and shook his head and was like, no go. So he was out for the rest of the night. We're going to get an update, hopefully, from Gallant later, whether or not he'll actually say he's ready to go. He probably won't. That's just not the way that NHL coaches really do things nowadays. But we'll see. And, you know, if he can't, Kevin Rooney waiting in the wings. And I'll tell you, I feel for Kevin Rooney because he has been a huge, huge part of this Rangers team this entire season. And now, just as it's getting good and getting fun, he's not in the lineup. But that's obviously the way it goes. But I think that Kevin Rooney will have an extra jump in his step if he gets to draw into the lineup. And, you know, he's a center. He'll go back on the fourth line. Barkley Goodrow will go up to the second line in between Panarin and Kopp. And it really shouldn't be that much of a downgrade. It really shouldn't, because Kevin Rooney is a workhorse. Kevin Rooney, he's similar to Tyler Mott in that way, where he plays with such energy and so hard. And he's also a great penalty killer. So
yeah, Molly, I don't have a problem with that at all. I like Kevin Rooney, and it's not like Strome has been killing it out there. Yeah, Strome is capable of making some good plays, but it's not like he's been one of the star players in this series. So it wouldn't be the worst thing for Kevin Rooney to come in. He will come in and play a little more physical type of game. He'll play a little bit angry. And so I have no problems with that at all. Now, with Goodrow, he got hit in the ankle. Do you know if this is, if it was the same foot as
same
the
same exact ankle? All of us in the press box were like, oh my God, how is he still walking? How is he still walking? I mean, it's really, it blows my mind. I can't even believe that he's playing. Like, I can't even, if the reports are true and if everything that we've heard is true and it was a fractured ankle, I mean, my God, I mean, he is playing. And then he takes a shot right to the same ankle. But he's, that's the thing about Barco Goodrow. He's still getting in front of the shots. I think it was Andrew Kopp that was talking about it after game three. He was like, after everything he's already went through, he was like, I mean, what a block. Like, what a play by Barkley Goodrow to be willing to step in front of that without hesitation. I mean, just both him and Ryan Lindgren, they're just the Rangers warriors. That's all they've been calling them. And that's what they are. And Andrew Kopp said, you know, those are the types of guys that you can win with. Those are the types of guys you need to win with.
Goodrow had what everyone thought was a goal in the second period. That one that went to off the crossbar. I mean, how did that not go in? Oh my goodness. That's the difference in the game right there. All right. Larry Brooks is going to join us in a minute, guys, but what do we think for game four here and the rest of the series? Rangers up 2-1, game four, Tampa, Tuesday, Thursday, back at the Garden. How do you see this series playing out?
I don't know. The Lightning looked like the champions. They look like the champions in game three. And, you know, if they can keep that going, the Rangers might be in trouble. But if the Rangers can just keep skating with them and steal one here, they can close it out at the Garden. And that'll be it.
I see it as two teams that are evenly matched. It does come down to goaltending. For the Rangers, they're going to be well aware that they want to play 5-on-5 hockey to want to take bad penalties. So if they can stay away from taking bad penalties, play them 5-on-5, get that early goal, really important. But I'm seeing a confidence in the Rangers right now in their playing, their playmaking, that they're not intimidated by the Lightning. They know they can beat them. They have beaten them. So and they will also know if they can find a way to win this next game, it's 3-1. Going back to the Garden. It's a game where Gerard Gallant's going to be telling these guys, look, it, we go up 3-1, we can win the series. And so they're going to be all fired up. And all the pressure's on the Lightning. It's still going to be on the Lightning. I think they're still in a little bit of panic mode because they feel like the Rangers have the advantage. And so if the Rangers can come off, have a good start, get that first goal, I'm believing the Rangers are going to win the next game.
Rangers in 5. Switch up or 7. One of the two. All right, let's bring in now the post Larry Brooks next right here on Up in the Blue Seats.
I think he's just the epitome of not being a one-trick pony. Hockey Hall of Fame Rangers beat writer at the post, Larry Brooks.
I think there's room for different styles. There's room for different resumes.
Are you sick of me after spending 3 straight days in the car next to this face?
It was a rather pleasant experience, I have to say.
Because you've been doing this, what, for over 40 years.
It's an important part of the experience to understand the fabric of a team.
Giving Henrik Lundqvist his nickname is one of the coolest things in my entire career.
He blames or gives credit to you for that nickname. So there you go.
Yeah, okay.
Well, Lara, I'm in agreement with you.
No.
Okay. It was great to get to know Brooksy, and he became part of my journey. You know, he was there every day.
One year, the Islanders gave out bathrobes that lasted for about a game. You know, like guys were walking around in their bathrobes like, what is this?
We're only seeing the tip of the iceberg.
All right, can we ask Larry a hockey question?
It's a two-part answer.
All right.
Yes, welcome in the great Larry Brooks. You can follow him at NYP_Brooksy. Read him at nypost.com in the physical copy of the paper and at Post Sports Plus. First question, Larry, are you excited to go jet skiing with me later?
It is a it will be a dream come true.
I'm excited. I don't know about you. It's going to be a good time.
I am excited. No, I am excited. This may very well be my last appearance on this show, but we'll see.
Yeah, we're doing a whole New York sports writer outing. We're all going together. It's going to be a really great time. And maybe we'll have some fun stories to tell you on the next episode. And hopefully Larry will still be here for his weekly segment. So, Larry, what's the most notable adjustment you think the Rangers have to make to win game four?
Well, they've got to have the puck. I think that's I think, honestly, you know, you have to give Tampa Bay credit for game three. They came harder at the Rangers. They were more physical against the Rangers than they had been in the first two games. They were their marquee guys were much better than they had been at the Garden, and they outplayed the Rangers marquee guys, you know, other than the goaltender. I mean, Shesterkin, you know, had a marvelous game, and Vasilevsky was better than he had been in the Garden, but he wasn't tested nearly enough. But honestly, really, what the Rangers need to do is get the puck in deep. It's, you know, it's like I sound like these players just spouting these cliches, but they're true. You know, they have to get the puck in. They have to work the puck low. They have to spend some time in the Tampa zone. And the only line that did that on Sunday was the kid line. And, it, you know, it's as if they go out, those three kids, those three players go out, and their intention every time is to get the puck in deep. I mean, you can see that that's what they're doing. You know, they are not dangling at the blue line. They're out of their own end pretty quickly most of the time. They get it through the neutral zone, and they get it in, and they go to work. The transformation in Filip Chytil's game, I mean, we talk about this all the time, but it's not only the level of his production, it's the way he is winning battles. And when you add Filip Chytil winning battles to Kako, who can win battles, and Lafreniere, who wins battles, you got three guys who are really hungry and very difficult to move off the puck when they have it. So the fourth line yesterday, I thought had a couple of very, very good shifts in the first. But other than that, the Rangers just didn't have much zone time at all. And you know, that's what they need to do. They need to get back to a more disciplined game. They're in the box a little bit too much. I think you can quibble with certainly one of the calls against Trouba, but you know, they just were not disciplined enough. They just were not good enough on their details. The Kreider-Zibanejad connection just has to be a little bit better. And I don't want to make them into scapegoats every time they play poorly and the Rangers lose a game. It's not fair. You know, they each scored on Sunday. They've each got 10 goals. They're having big time playoffs, but the Rangers need them. And they're going to need to come up with a more, I think, substantive effort tomorrow. You know, it's interesting about that line. They do have trouble when they're matched up against checking lines. The opposition only wants to stop them, which is what Tampa's doing now at home. But they thrive when they're, you know, playing power on power. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, they just have to be better. Vetrano has to be better. Panarin has to be better. Fox did not have a particularly good game. So they just have to be better in game four, pretty much in every facet, I think.
When Ryan Strome left the game, Filip Chytil replaced him on the top power play unit. Do you think that's the right move, or should someone like Alexis Lafreniere take that spot?
Well, I like the way Chytil played. He played in a bumper role. I thought he was having the best game of the three, and I thought that was I think that's appropriate. That's what I would imagine we'd see tomorrow night. But if Strom's not playing, if Strom's not playing, that certainly changes the dynamic a little bit. I would imagine Rooney would go in and Kopp would play, you know, center, but and maybe then Goodrow moves up on the second line. So yeah, but I think using Filip here on the first power play unit was the right move.
Larry, what do you make of the Lightning strategy is to get into Shesterkin's crease, his face, throw him off his game? Do you think too much is made of this, or is this just really part of the game, part of playoff hockey? You go after the best player. Do you think too much is made out of this? Because I know you've talked about it before. You want to protect the goaltenders. Do you think it's fair game to be able to throw a goaltender off his game?
Well, all's fair in love in the playoffs, right? You know about both, right?
So yes.
I don't think there's been an effort to hurt Shesterkin, but I think there's an effort to bump him and get him off his game. And listen, he's been hit, but the one thing you've noticed about Igor is he knows how to play it too. And when he goes down with a purpose. And I'm not sure that it's always to draw a penalty. I think it's to give him time. He has never rushed, never. And when he takes a couple of hits, you know, there are times where he will, you know, go down in pretty dramatic fashion, and, you know, he will just stay there until he's ready to get up. I understand why the Rangers are going to make this an issue with the league. I would do that too. And if I were Tampa Bay, I would say, listen, this is just hockey. We're going hard to the net. Listen, I do think on most goaltender interference calls, they're, you know, most of them are in a gray area. I think, you know, some that are obvious, but I think a lot are in a gray area because defensemen, you know, because when players put their shoulder down and they're driving to the net and defenseman, you know, gives them a little bit of a nudge, they really have no place else to go if they're driving the net. So I don't think it's dirty hockey. I don't think it's anything to be outraged about.
So Larry, as I'm watching the game, there's two players that stand out to me because of they've made a difference. Two new players, Vetrano and Mott. On two separate lines, I think where they've made a difference is their speed, how they push the play, how quick they are on the puck, how quick they are to go on the back check. Are you noticing that? Because it's to me, it's a different team because when they're loose pucks and you need guys that play not only with speed, but they play with passion also. I see those guys, although they may not be the better players on the ice, but their speed or tenacity really make a difference.
Yeah, well, listen, I think Tyler Mott has been a revelation since he's come over. And I think it'd be very, you know, it would be important if the Rangers could find the way to sign him and keep him for next year. I think he adds that element of speed, like you said, to the fourth line, but he hits and he hits with purpose. You know, I mean, when you're hit by Tyler Mott, you know it. I love what Tyler Mott has brought to the Rangers. I think Vetrano's speed and his shoot first mentality has been a complimentary add to Kreider and Zibanejad. I think he's a little more inconsistent in his game than Mott is because I think Mott's game is a little more simple. You know, he's got one task, you know, get it in and go to work and bang around and a terrific penalty killer. Vetrano's game, I think, you know, goes up and down. It was interesting to me that yesterday he was playing at the end and Gallant was playing it straight at the end of the tie game. He wasn't sitting guys out. Maybe some of that was because Strome was not available to him and he already had a short bench and he didn't want to cut it down too much more. But yeah, I think, listen, when Vetrano is playing, when he's on his game, he adds that element to the line. I think the Rangers' speed is certainly an advantage they have over Tampa at this point because Tampa has skilled guys, obviously. They have some of the best players in the league. But they're also a very physical team. So it's not that they just added physical players a few years ago when they realized that's what they were missing. I mean, that's become a large part of their identity. You know, even though it's, you know, Vasilevsky, Stamkos, Kucherov, you know, these great players, Braden Point when he's healthy, Victor Hedman. We know, you know, we're talking about future Hall of Famers, you know, a number of them. So they are a tough team to win one-on-one battles against. They're a tough team because they come at you all the time. That's what I see right now, the Rangers' speed against, you know, Tampa's maybe physical play.
So Larry, you're the one that in our prediction before the series started, you said Rangers in seven, both Molly and I went against that. With what you've seen so far, could it be something different? Could be Rangers in six? If someone asks you, what do you think we're going to see in game four? What are your thoughts?
You know, I'm not sure. I think on one hand, you take a look at yesterday and the Rangers up 2-0, you know, halfway through the game. You have your shot. You know, you're up 2-0 in the series. You're up 2-0 in the game. If you score one more, you might clinch this thing. They let a shot get away. They did. They had a shot. They let this one get away. On the other hand, they didn't play particularly well. They played hard. They didn't play particularly well, and Tampa was at its most desperate and was still a tie game, you know, going to the final minute of regulation. So you can say, well, if the Rangers play better, they'll be able to win. I think every game's a toss-up. I honestly do. I don't think Tampa's gained any more confidence because they won game three. I don't think the Rangers lost any confidence because they lost game three. I see every game now as a 50-50 battle. I think the Rangers could win in five, and I think the Rangers could lose in six. I don't think Tampa right now has an edge in, you know, is superior. So I think the Rangers have already erased that. They've leveled the playing field, and now they just have to go about the very, very difficult business of knocking a champion out. You know, it's one thing to have a champion on the ropes. It's another thing to knock the champion out. And the Rangers are going to have a few more shots at it, and they're going to have to be much better at it if they're going to take them out.
All righty. Thanks so much, Larry. And I'll see you when we're carving up the waves in the bay in Tampa Bay.
I'll see ya.
All right. We'll chat again soon.
Okay. See ya. But now it's like anything goes.
All right, Ron and Molly, that says goodnight to episode 93, the Mika Zibanejad edition. We finally made it of Up in the Blue Seats, our Rangers podcast from the New York Post.
And so thank you, Jake and Andrew Hartz, another good show, for producing this show. And I got to tell you, going into game four, I have a level of excitement because I really do believe in talking with Larry and Molly and all of us that the Rangers, the way they're playing with their confidence level, that with Shesterkin and Ned, of course, if he stays healthy, we're going to assume he is, that they can beat the Lightning. And then after the Lightning, it's the finals. It's the Stanley Cup Finals. And Molly had said it early, before the series started, before the playoffs started, Rangers can go down in four in the first round, or they could be in the finals. So here we are, Molly.
I did say that, didn't I?
You did say that.
And for all the that I got from everybody for saying Lightning in five. No, I will not. For all the that I got, I did say that I could see this team going to the Stanley Cup, because I did, and I still do. I still do. It's totally possible.
I would say there's a 60% chance that the Rangers win this series and they're off to the finals. When you look at who they'd be playing, it would be Colorado. Colorado can score goals. So can the Rangers. The Rangers have a better goaltender than Colorado. And so it's doable. Fans, folks, it is doable. The Rangers could win the Stanley Cup this year. Not next year, their following year. This year, they're in a position right now, if they stay healthy, that they can win the Stanley Cup. It's real.
And then Molly will be riding high in Colorado for the Stanley Cup Finals. Molly, I would love to see you in the streets of Denver, Colorado. Good times would be had there. It'd be a destination finals for so many reasons. And man, Ron, you were there in 94. We don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but the thought of the floats and a parade in the streets of New York after this pandemic that we've been through for years here would not only raise the city economically, but just spiritually. You know, I feel in the streets after these games, Central Park, the watch parties the Rangers have been putting on have been awesome with the views. Bryant Park will be there tomorrow night for that watch party. This city needs it, and it would be pretty special.
It's not long in the distance. It's now. It could happen now. They win tomorrow night. I believe they win on Thursday night.
It's either going to be Thursday night celebration, a Saturday night, or there's a Game 7 Tuesday. If that happens and they win, you know, the work is canceled on Wednesday for all of New York City. For Andrew Hartz, Ron Duguay, Molly Walker, I'm Jake Brown. We will return after Game 5 on Thursday. Stay tuned for that episode. Make sure you follow us all on social media. Stay tuned for that. But enjoy game four Tuesday. Enjoy game five at the Garden on Thursday. And we'll talk to you next time right here on Up in the Blue Seats. He saw your wholesome side. He didn't see your party side as much.